to the directory that's online. If you will, did not get the email and want the password, see Jody or myself or Chad Trivett, and we'll tell you what it is or give it to you with a piece of paper, because we did not want to announce it out loud, and y'all know why. So. We're still taking up for the Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We have a total to date of $2,950 toward our goal of $6,000. So we're coming right along with that. If no one else has an announcement, we will now see our missions video about the Annie Armstrong Easter offering.
When I think about what does the world need to know about Wyoming, you can drive an hour any direction of where we are and there's not another neighborhood. You're not gonna pass a gas station, you're not gonna pass a subdivision, you're not gonna pass a Walmart. You're not going to pass anything. And the saddest reality of Wyoming is you can be born, live, and die in Wyoming and never have a church share the gospel with you in your hometown. Because there's 203 places to live, and over 60 of those places don't have a church of any kind. Medicine Bow really is typical of so many of the 203 towns in Wyoming. Medicine Bow is a town of 200 people, and the largest religious affiliation is none. So when we get asked, why are we planting new churches? There's so many already. Well, in Wyoming, the answer is easy. There's a lot of places without them. My family and I planted a church in Barnum, Wyoming. And over the last 2 years, we've seen 118% growth. But we are just so spread out. We have got to work together to start churches in towns that have never had a church in them ever. And so our heart and what we see God priming and prepping us to do is to raise up men, train them with an apprenticeship here, and then send them out and to be a part of our circuit preaching team. Because when we think about where are the church planters gonna come from, we've had to come to the reality that they're coming from our congregation. And we've got to start from ground zero and raise them up and send them out. God has not forgotten about these small towns. And so, we plant churches because they need the gospel too, and this is the only way that we're ever going to get it to them.
Before we go to our hymn, I do want to say one more thing about the directory. If you find a mistake, just tell me. We'll try to fix it. And also, they are available on a flash drive as well as on the website, so we do have options. If you would like a flash drive, we have some available. Let's all turn to hymn number 572 and stand as we sing, I Love to Tell the Story.
I Well, the story gets sweeter every day. And so we praise God for you being here and for the baptism, for the ongoing story to Jesus comes. Bow with me as we pray. Father, we're so thankful, Father, for your unending mercy. Father, for your word, which is true. And Father, settled in heaven. And Father, we can't change it, but Father, we're so thankful it changes lives. And Father, we would pray, Father, that just the ministry and mission of your evangelistic heart might be represented by your body here. And Father, we'll be not only ones that have received of that great message and have been converted, but Father, we'll, Father, be voices, Father, for that testimony to others. Father, bless our service today. We invite thy Holy Spirit. Father, we ask your anointing on Father, Brother Rodney, as he comes to share the word, and we pray for receptive hearts, open minds, Father, that you might put, Father, in us that which will bring fruit and honor for thy glory. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Morning. Let's pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this glorious day, Father. We thank you so much for the blessing of the witness for the baptisms this morning, Father, that two souls now are safely in your arms and will never be snatched from you, Father. We praise you for that precious gift. Father, we pray that you'll be with us through this worship hour, Father. We thank you that we're here today by your sheer grace and your love. And Father, we thank you and praise you for us. In your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Hymn number 447, Trust and Obey. Take a minute to greet each other while the children come.
Hey, children.
Hey, children. You're my child.
I know. Hey, and I'm proud to be.
How are you? You been to the ball?
So today's verse comes from James 1:22. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Hi. Your ears are an amazing creation. They not only allow you to hear, but they also help with balance and, believe it or not, with taste. Your ears never stop working, even when you are sound asleep. Your ears work by capturing sound waves in the outer ear, which is called the pinna. That's the part of the ear you can see. Sound waves funnel down into the middle ear, where they turn into vibrations, and then they travel to the eardrum. From there, they flow to the cochlea, which is located in the inner ear, next the sound waves go to the brain, which puts everything together and tells you what you're hearing. Your hearing is a great gift from God, but what do you do with what you hear is your gift back to God. Jesus said it this way. Everyone who hears these sayings I say and obey them is like a wise man. The wise man built his house on rock. It rained hard and the water rose. The winds blew and hit that house. But the house did not fall because the house was built on rock. But the person who hears the things I teach and does not obey them is like a foolish man. The foolish man built his house on sand. It rained hard, the water rose, and the winds blew and hit that house, and the house fell with a big crash. Matthew 7:24-27. Don't let your life come crashing down like a foolish man's house. Listen to God. How? Through reading his word, through listening as others teach it, and through listening to the Holy Spirit as he reminds you of these things. God has said, and after you listen to God's word, do what it says. Who wants to pray? Okay.
Dear Lord, thank you for all these boys and girls. And just thank you for several just coming to church. And that Jesus all loves us, that he knows he comes to our heart. And everybody pray for him, is pleased for God, and every single people loves him. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for making it warm up a little bit more this past couple of weeks. Thank you for all these boys and girls that have decided to come to church. Thank you for these baptisms that we've had these past couple of weeks. And just in general, thank you for everything that you have done for us. Amen.
Thank you for all of the people, for George, even Sarah.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for us coming to church to learn more about you. Be with all these people here. Be with Pastor Rodney as he preaches this sermon, and amen.
called him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Just because He lives. And then one day I'll cross the river. I'll fight my fight. Way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I know He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. And life is worth just because He
tell you what, it was pretty good. I got to be in the children's service, and I got to be backstage to the trio. What a blessing. All right, so it's always a wonderful, wonderful way to start any service off with baptisms. And this is two Sundays in a row that we've had baptisms. So I guess in the spirit of March Madness in a bracket, let's go 3 for 3. All right, let's shoot for next Sunday too, okay? I wanted to go ahead and get into the message because I knew Steve was doing the baptisms and he's known to preach and go off, so I didn't know how long this might take. But I wanted to go ahead and just start this message off. So have you ever wanted to go somewhere different, but God seemed to say no? And I'm not talking about running away like Jonah, but maybe you feel you've been through the ringer and you want nothing more than to just take off and go somewhere else. But it just seems like there are no options opening. I know I felt that way. So if you would, turn with me to our scripture reading. We're going to look at Mark's Gospel. We're going to be in chapter 5. And my focus verses that we're going to be looking at is Mark chapter 5. We're going to look at 18 through 20 to start off with. Mark chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. And God's word says, "And when he got into the boat, which is Jesus, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, 'Go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you.' And he departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him, and all marveled." Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we call upon your Spirit to guide us through your word, Father. We pray your Spirit will open our hearts to teach us, to just tell us what you would have us to do, Father. Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege of being in your house to worship, Father. We thank you for the baptisms that just took place. We thank you for your unendless love for us, Father. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. So the message, the brief passages that I just read, you know, all three synoptic gospels have this encounter that was in Jesus' ministry here. And I've chosen Mark's perspective to highlight some details. Now see, this region where Jesus and his disciples are at is called the Decapolis. It was a region composed of 10 Hellenistic, which is Greek-influenced cities, located on the east and south of the Sea of Galilee. And this area was populated both with Jews and Gentiles. And this specific location was called the Gadarenes. And this location will be important later on, but for now we're going to have to go to the beginning of chapter 5 and really look at what's taking place to get the big picture and how this is all played out. So turning back to the beginning of chapter 5, if you look there, the first thing I really wanted to bring out, starting in verse 2, is the immediate recognition of the holiness of Jesus, and there is no denying his universal authority. So pay attention to the reaction of this demon-possessed man. This is where it all started right here. Verse 2 tells us, it says, "And when he had came out of the boat," Jesus came out of the boat, "immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." You see, that was no announcement of Jesus' arrival, we're told. But as soon as Jesus' foot hit the ground, the demons in this man's body took notice. This man, hiding away with the dead in the tombs, which is also a statement of the man's spiritual death, dead under the influence of these demonic forces. But as soon as the holiness of Jesus stepped onto the ground, those demons realized that the holiness of God had came. And they realized the living God was in their presence. And they also realize their place among that living God. Verse 6 tells us, moving further down, it says, "When he saw Jesus from afar, the man possessed by all these demons, he ran and worshipped him, and he cried out with a loud voice and said, 'What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God that you do not torment me.'" So don't misunderstand the word usage here for worship by these demons. The Greek for worship here indicates that this is not an act of praise, honor, and adoration that we are to attribute to Jesus for our salvation and his mercy and his love. But the demons only recognized him as the formality, an act of homage or respect of the position. It's kind of like you might not like your boss, but you're going to pay respect to him because of what he can do to you. But also, if you look at this, it puts into the present example that Paul later tells us in his epistle that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord of all creation, either by submission, willingly, Whereas a case of his authoritative reign of king of the universe, which is what these demons did. So also the Greek here for cried out is not one of weeping or sadness. It's more of a screeching, a sound compared to a crow screeching. So these demons immediately realize their fate. They know what's coming. They know there is no hope of redemption for them. They made their choice. This is why we as humans should rejoice. As God's created image, we should never stop being completely amazed and humbled by the fact that we are redeemed only through God's grace. And it's only for us. How special are we? Praise God, amen. Then we see Jesus' full authority on display here. This demon-possessed man that could not be restrained, he had the strength to break any chain that bounded him. But he had no power over the living God. Because Jesus simply said with his word, verse 8 tells us, "For he," Jesus, "said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit." You see, there was no fight, no struggle. The demons had no choice but to come out of the man. Jesus, by his omnipotent, his all-power authority, just said the words. And the creature that no human could restrain had to obey. It says something about the power of our Lord, amen? So the second thing I want us to take notice through this is even though evil has been defeated, evil will make every effort to stop the spread of the gospel. And we see this here in verses 11 through 17, the largest part of our section. Verse 11 tells us, it says, "Now a large herd of swine was feeding there near the mountains. So all the demons begged him, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Then the unclean spirit went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000. And the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. So those who fed the swine fled. And they told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that had happened. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who saw it told them how it had happened to him who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. Then they begged to plead with him who was Jesus to depart from their region." So there's a lot going on here besides Jimmy Hyde seeing all that sausage and bacon being wasted by running into the sea. Jimmy's in the back. I know he's chuckling at that. But we can see the reaction of the people nearby and those that came. It would seem that the demons had, in fact, hindered the gospel from being shared in this region. Now, many have offered reasons for the people's reactions here. Maybe it was fear of Jesus and he exercised his all-powerful presence. Or maybe it was anger. Because in reality, the financial loss of such a large herd is estimated in today's dollars. It was about $500,000 that just jumped off a ledge and was gone. Maybe it was the fact that a previously possessed man that everyone feared was sitting there in his right mind. And they did not know what to make of it. But no matter the reason, we see Jesus here offers no resistance. He obliged the people, and he and his disciples got into the boat. And so here's the third point. This plays in exactly into Jesus' hands. You see, the dark forces in this world, they are smart, but they are not all-knowing like God is. And Jesus has a plan. Verse 18 tells us, it says, "And when he," Jesus, "got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might go with him." Now, on the surface, we might struggle with Jesus for not allowing the man to go with him. After all, we don't know for sure how long this man had suffered, but we know he suffered.
He was feared. He had been humiliated by these demons. Remember, the first part of the section of the gospel tells us that he was running around naked and cutting himself. So the reaction here from this man is pure love. The man had been oppressed and smothered by these evil and dark spirits that he had never experienced anything like he just experienced that Jesus had just given him. And the man wanting nothing more than to be in the physical presence of that love all the time. Not with the people that knew him, that knew his mistakes, that knew all the things he had done by being under the influence of this evil. The people knew who he was, but that is also important. It's what he was. Because now a new creation is before them. A man in his right mind. And Jesus had a special mission for him. A bigger purpose. Yes, he probably could have helped the ministry with Jesus. Because of what the demon had done, though, the people and their reaction there, Jesus needed someone who was one of them to witness for him. And this is where our application comes in here. Verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends, tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you." You see, this man could have been disheartened not being allowed to go with Jesus. But Jesus needed the man more than we realize. He needs us more than we realize. Because who are the people that are most receptive to hearing the gospel? It's more often than not the people that know us. Or better stated, the people that used to know us. The people that have seen the impact on what Jesus has done for us. The new creation we have been made into and is still making us into his image. You see, I went from pew climber to pulpit. And I've made many, many mistakes. But I'm a new creation in Christ. Now, after this swine incident, those people needed someone. They knew they needed someone that could speak to them. And it was this man. Just like us, we may not be called to be the next Billy Graham to speak to tens of thousands of people. Or we may not be called to go to an exotic paradise to share the gospel. But we are expected every day to share the gospel because God has placed us in a mission field. Your mission field is your work, your home, your hangout, your doctor's appointments, your friends, your schools. Those are your gatherings. Those are the people Jesus needs you to show and to teach them how Jesus has changed your life. Just like this man. So don't get discouraged if you have pleaded with God to move you somewhere else. I'm going through circumstances right now that I have asked God to please show me, take me, remove me, but no doors have opened. But most important, no doors have been shut also. So until they do, I'm going to be right where God has placed me. And he has told me for now, I'm not going to let you get in the boat because I need you where you are. In closing this passage out and tying it all together, we see the man was obedient. Verse 20 tells us, and he, the new man, I like that, the new man. That's exactly what he was. Departed and began to proclaim in the Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. And all marveled. They marveled. They went from fear to marveling. So we have to ask, it seems like the man's story ended right here in verse 20. So did he have an impact for Jesus? Did he have an impact in his life that he lived? Early church tradition holds, and in fact, this location is important, like I said at the beginning of this. It matches a description in Mark that the location in the Decapolis was a town called Chorasai, a city area in the region of the Gadarenes. And there are tombs located there and high cliffs. There's even been a church established in the early centuries to commemorate a special miracle that Jesus performed. So I want us to look a few chapters over at the ending of chapter 7, at the beginning of chapter 8 in Mark's gospel. I'll give you a second to turn there. Look at chapter 7, verse 31. And I want you to ask if this man had an impact. Verse 31 tells us, again, this is Jesus, departing from the region of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came through the midst of the region of the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee. And then moving on over to chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples and said to them, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me for 3 days and have nothing to eat. And this is key right here. Look down at verse 9. Now those who had eaten were about 4,000. 4,000. And he, Jesus, sent them away. So did he have an impact? Jesus has returned to the same area we read in chapter 5. This area that in fear or anger, the people ask him to leave. But this time, when Jesus came back to this same region, he is greeted with multitude. He is greeted with thousands. They wanted to hear him. So one can't help but wonder how much this one man had on sharing the gospel to his friends and family. And they went and shared, and so on and so on. Amen. So in closing, you might not understand why you are where you're at, but God has placed you in the mission field no matter of that understanding. Maybe you're wanting to get into the boat, but God might be saying, no, I need you right where you are because you are very important to my plans. Maybe you are here today because someone close to you has shared the gospel in their workplace or hangout or anywhere they were placed. And you want to establish your relationship through the salvation of Christ Jesus. If so, as we close, the altar will be open when we sing our hymn of invitation. Bow with me for prayer. God, our Heavenly Father, Father, we thank you for saving us from the oppression of evil in this world. Father, we thank you for making us righteous through your blood, Jesus. And Father, through that blood, we are to reach out and to share your gospel with all those. You placed us right where we need to be. Our mission field is all around us, Father. Father, let us remember to share your love, show your love, and be your love. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for the testimony that is recorded that we can see that a man that was wretched, suppressed by evil, Father, has been made clean by you, Jesus, and we can all have that cleansing. And Father, through that cleansing, the joy and the witness of you has been shared through a region where many, many came to know your grace and love. Father, give us that power, give us that strength, and give us that boldness. It's in your holy name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. So as we sing our hymn of invitation, maybe God is calling you. Please accept his grace. Or maybe you need God to strengthen you to be a witness to him in your mission field. Call to his Spirit and it will guide you in your mission field. Amen. Linda.
Hymn number 325, Whiter Than Snow.
Steve's got one more order of business to take care of. I'm going to let him come up. If Maddox and Dwayne will come forward, I'm going to let Brother Steve dismiss us in prayer and present our baptism certificates to them. Good thing you got dry pants now. Here you go.
Guys, I put these in the folder so you wouldn't get them. I put these in the folder so you wouldn't get them bent. If you're like I am, it wouldn't take long. So this is yours, Maddox, and this is yours. And I'll just give them to you this way. And Mavella and I would like for you to have this. By Adrian Rogers, what every Christian ought to know, day by day.
Amen.
A great man of God that's passed on. And Maddox, this Bible is your baptism Bible from Mavell and I.
Thank you.
So I'm proud of you, Bubba, both of you. If y'all stand right over here. You guys want to come? We're going to dismiss, but you guys, if you want to come by and say hello, give them a hug, that'll be good too. So, oh, how good it is to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. To know that he died for us and he continually blesses us and forgives. Rodney's already preached, so. And Rodney, I appreciate that message. Yeah, God has a place and a work for every one of us. What a message we ought to take home with us. Our Father, we thank you for another wonderful day in your fellowship. We thank you, Father, that this family has an opportunity for a brand new day. May you be glorified in their lives, in their home, in their actions. Help them to feed upon you, Lord, to be your followers, your disciples. Thank you for this service. Thank you for our pastor, Greg, for our pastor, Rodney. And God, we pray for our sick folks that are facing some serious situations in their lives. I pray, God, for their strength, for your healing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, it is.